A 25-year-old Juneau man will be arraigned in Superior Court this afternoon on charges of murder in the second degree in connection with the death of 19-year-old Gabriel Cart. Cart was killed in June in a single-vehicle accident at Mile 35 Glacier Highway. Ryan West has been identified by a Juneau grand jury on, or indicted rather, by a Juneau grand jury on probable cause that he was the driver of the 1994 pickup truck that ran off the road into a ditch, rolling several times. Cart was ejected from the vehicle and pronounced dead at the scene. West was treated for minor injuries at Bartlett Hospital and later released. Juneau police said alcohol and excessive speed were factors in the crash, but at the time of the preliminary investigation, it wasn't clear who was driving the truck. West is being held on no bail at Lemon Creek Correctional Center. An 11-year-old Fairbanks boy has died after he was run over by a car. Alaska State Troopers say Jameson Thrune died last night, hours after the accident. An assault charge against the driver has been upgraded to manslaughter. Officials say 68-year-old Yee-Kee Kim will be arraigned today on manslaughter and reckless driving charges. Troopers say Kim drove her vehicle through a stop sign and hit Thrune, who was walking with a crossing guard about a block away from University Park Elementary School at 8:20 a.m. Tuesday. Authorities say she then drove through the fence onto private property and hit another vehicle and a boat. Then she broke through the fence again into another yard and backed over a mailbox before coming to a stop. One of the highest-profile murder cases in Bethel history is headed to trial soon. Last October, 19-year-old Benjamin Kaiser of Hooper Bay was murdered in a Bethel shop in what seasoned officers called the most brutal killing they have investigated. The trial has been moved hundreds of miles to Fairbanks. The court has promised that people in Bethel can attend telephonically, but at the last hearing, not even the prosecuting attorney in Bethel was able to participate. KYUK's Shane Iverson has more from Bethel.
Facing murder charges are Jeff Hout of Bethel and Harry Williams of Queetluck. Another man, David Kenny of Bethel, was charged with interfering with an investigation. All three were scheduled for a procedural hearing on August 17th. What happened there is unknown, except to those that were in Fairbanks, where the hearing was based. See, the 4th Judicial District moved the case from Bethel to Fairbanks because of the charges involving Kenny. He was a law clerk at the Bethel courthouse when he was arrested. District Presiding Judge Doug Blankenship was in Bethel this spring and said because Kenny was a worker at the Bethel courthouse, the case would be moved.
Judges' duties are to be fair and impartial, and there's also a requirement that there not be an appearance of impropriety. And it may raise questions publicly if there's a judge sitting on a case where there was a court employee involved.
That was Blankenship speaking to KYUK in April when the case was moved to Fairbanks. He said then that there was a lot of public interest in the case. So he said the Bethel public could listen in telephonically from a courtroom in Bethel.
So that if there's anyone interested in listening, they can check the Bethel court calendar, find out when the hearing is, and come into court and sit and listen to that audio.
The judge actually hearing the case is Michael McDonald in Fairbanks. A district attorney from Bethel has been assigned to prosecute the case for the state of Alaska.
Judge McDonald will be sitting in court in Fairbanks. And they will get the attorneys on the phone.
Except that is not what happened at the last hearing. The district attorney, June Stein, along with a couple people from the Bethel public, were left waiting in the hallway outside a locked courtroom door at the Bethel courthouse. After three reminders, clerk staff unlocked the door and allowed us in. It was quiet in the courtroom, giving the appearance that the hearing was behind schedule. That was until a voice came over the courtroom speaker system. It was Judge McDonald saying that the hearing was over. Looking shocked and confused, District Attorney Stein told Judge McDonald that she had just now been included in the hearing. Quote, "We've been here waiting 20 minutes. We didn't want the court to think we weren't here," she said. Judge McDonald said, quote, "Oh my goodness, the court apologizes." But McDonald had already excused the defendants and their attorneys. He added that the problem was due to confusion in the Bethel Fairbanks court case. Trying to salvage what she could of the hearing, Stein said that the state was not ready for the upcoming murder trial and that she had been planning to request it be rescheduled for another date. Too late, said McDonald, who had already confirmed that the trial will go forward next month. Stein asked what else happened in the hearing. Judge McDonald said that he had granted the accused, David Kenney, a change of attorney. Kenney would drop his lawyer and the court would appoint a public defender. Before the hearing, Stein said she was planning to protest that change, but she never got the chance. Quote, "This is unacceptable, Judge McDonald," Stein added. She was asked for a recording of the hearing to review what she had missed. KYUK has asked for that same recording. The clerk's office in Bethel says they have requested a copy of the audio and notes from Fairbanks where it was recorded. That was over 2 weeks ago, and the Bethel office says those materials have not yet arrived. A call to Judge Michael McDonald was not returned. The Bethel clerk's office says they will record the trial from their office in the future. The trial is currently set to take place the last week of September. I'm Shane Iverson.
Price of crude oil is down this morning. Brent crude is at $114.15 a barrel. West Texas Intermediate for October is at $88.66 a barrel. Gold also down this morning, $1,831 an ounce. Silver down too, $41.84 an ounce. You're listening to Morning Edition on KTOO. The national chain OfficeMax is coming to Juneau. The office supply company says it will serve all of Southeast Alaska. OfficeMax plans to open a retail store in Nugget Mall in early next year. It owns two stores in Anchorage and one in Fairbanks. OfficeMax already has business contract customers throughout Southeast Alaska, according to company spokeswoman Nicole Miller.
We really see this as a natural extension of our desire to expand our products and services to this area of the state. We do have some customers from the region that do go up and get service out of our Anchorage stores, and we look forward to expanding our services to this region of the state, and this new store is going to help us do just that.
The Juneau store will employ about 25 associates and sell office supplies, office furniture, technology products, and have an in-store printing service. The 17,000-square-foot OfficeMax will be located at the south end of Nugget Mall next to the new 11,000-square-foot Petco. Both will have separate outside entrances with no interior mall access. CBJ Community Development Plan reviewer John Young says OfficeMax received its CBJ building permit yesterday for commercial renovation and tenant improvements. Petco has already started renovating its Nugget Mall space. OfficeMax has about 1,000 retail stores across the U.S. and operates stores in Mexico on a joint venture. It also has a catalog business and contract services in the U.S., Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. OfficeMax is a publicly traded company on the New York Stock Exchange. And the state of Alaska plans to solicit consultants to help design a health insurance exchange. Governor Sean Parnell angered some lawmakers by refusing about $1 million in federal funds for an exchange, essentially a marketplace for insurance coverage options. Parnell believes the federal health care overhaul calling for exchanges is unconstitutional. Alaska is among states challenging the law in court, but since a federal court ruled it is the law until it's overturned, Parnell says the state will proceed with developing an exchange with its own money. State Health and Social Services Commissioner William Struer plans to issue a request for proposals in the coming weeks, seeking consultants to help design an exchange. If successful, another request would go out soliciting a vendor to implement it. If the state didn't set up an exchange, the federal government would eventually step in and establish one for Alaska. Petersburg's plan to form a borough is drawing opposition from several surrounding communities. While Juneau, Cake, and Kuprianov say they don't oppose a Petersburg borough, they're concerned about its boundaries. Petersburg is on Mitkoff Island, where the Wrangell Narrows meet Frederick Sound. Its proposed borough would be about 4,347 square miles, both land and water. The new Petersburg boundaries would stretch into an area previously identified for annexation to the city and borough of Juneau. All the territory from the southern boundary of the CBJ and east to the Canadian border. It includes the Tracy Arm, Ford's Terror Wilderness, Endicott Arm, as well as Holcomb, Windham, and Hobart Bays. 30,000 acres at Hobart Bay are owned by Gold Belt, Juneau's native corporation. Mayor Bruce Botello says Juneau has never filed to annex the area in deference to Gold Belt, which previously opposed putting its Hobart Bay land into a borough. In 2007, Juno made the decision to
withhold trying to move in that direction unless there was some triggering action. One of those that was contemplated was the possibility that another community would start the process of annexation or incorporation of those lands.
Now, Gold Belt Corporation says it is neutral with regard to which borough, if any, should encompass Hobart Bay. In a letter to both Botello and Petersburg Mayor Al Dwyer, Gold Belt Operations Vice President Derek Duncan says the board will decide its borough preference over the next couple of months. Dwyer says Petersburg's new boundary line would be about the center of Hobart Bay and adjacent to Juneau's boundary.
They're traditionally used by fishermen and others from Petersburg. And, you know, we've justified the boundaries because of past use. You know, we expect there'll be development in those areas that we've delineated.
Is Petersburg's petition to include those areas in a borough the trigger for Juneau annexation? That's the question Juneau will answer over the next few weeks after research, public input, and much deliberation. Assemblymember Peter Freer believes it is. Over the last decade, several Southeast communities have expanded their boundaries. Ketchikan through annexation, Wrangell and Skagway have incorporated, and a number of other communities are examining new boundaries.
It is in our interests, I think, to act and define that area that we believe would ultimately or should ultimately be a part of our borough.
Meanwhile, both the City of Cake and the Organized Village of Cake plan to protest the Petersburg Borough. The small first-class city of about 560 is on the northwest coast of Kuprianov Island. The new borough would encompass a large part of the island, which Cake says are our ancestral lands. John Janik is Cake City Administrator.
They're taking up what appears to be a little over half of the island, if not more. And the land they're trying to encompass actually is historically some native cultural land.
On the northeast shore of Kuprianov Island, the tiny second-class city of Kuprianov, population about 30, is also opposed. But Wrangell, which became a borough in 2008, says it doesn't have any major issues with the proposed Petersburg borough boundaries. The local boundary commission will consider the concerns of other communities in its decision. October 26th is the deadline for filing competing petitions and opposing briefs with the LBC. The Juneau Assembly will take up the issue again later this month. This year's Southeast Alaska commercial salmon harvest is already one for the record books, and it's not done yet. While the seine fleet's pink salmon catches in southern Southeast have remained below expectations, the huge volume from the northern districts and high prices have made this season more valuable than ever. Matt Lichtenstein has this update.
The value of the seine catch has surpassed a record $100 million, largely thanks to huge returns of fat pink salmon in northern Southeast Alaska. Fish and Game's regional biologist Bill Davidson was confident that by season's end, the 2011 catch will easily exceed the preseason forecast of 55 million pinks.
The combination of the record return on the north end and good average weights and best ever prices have probably blown away any previous value record, and it's still going.
With some areas winding down and others showing some late returns, Davidson expected the fleet would continue fishing into early September. By late August, seiners had netted more than 53 million pink salmon, which is more than twice last year's catch. They also had brought in nearly 2.5 million chum, 500,000 sockeye, and 300,000 coho. On average, pinks have been fetching a whopping 42 cents a pound for seiners. Prices have been strong nearly across the board, with the exception of coho, which have been exceptionally small in size and worth only about 50 cents a pound to seiners on average, though the prices are better for other fisheries. Seine sockeye has been going for $1.50, and chum has been worth 82 cents. With the big pink numbers and the high prices in general, Davidson was a little surprised that participation had not been drastically different than in recent years, with 268 seiners recording landings. The 10-year average is 259. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.
Meanwhile, the fall chum run on the Yukon River has surpassed expectations. State Department of Fish and Game Management biologist Jeff Estenson says the run is approaching 900,000 fish, better than the 700,000 average for this point in the season.
It's the biggest run we've seen probably since the mid-2000s, and it's certainly bigger than we've seen probably in the last 3 or 4 years. So more than adequate to meet our escapement goals throughout the drainage. Certainly have not needed to take any restrictions of the subsistence fisheries this year, and has definitely provided for one of the bigger commercial fisheries that we've seen in recent years.
Estenson says commercial fishermen, mostly near the Yukon River's mouth, have harvested 219,000 chums so far. The run is expected to taper off in the next week. The Yukon silver salmon return is coming in about average. About 144,000 coho had come through the lower river as of Sunday, better than the 140,000 fish average for that date. In other news from around the state, union workers who operate the Anchorage Water and Wastewater Utility have voted overwhelmingly to authorize a strike. The vote was 113-2. Plumbers and Pipefitters Union Local 367 spokesman Charles Dunnigan says the union will announce today when it plans to walk out. Anchorage Mayor Dan Sullivan has said the city would immediately seek a court order to send the employees back to work. City Attorney Dennis Wheeler has said a judge is likely to accept the contract terms already recommended by an arbitrator. That arbitrator decided the city's last wage offer was too low, and he accepted union proposals for wage increases. The Anchorage Assembly rejected the arbitrator's decision in a vote this week, setting up last night's strike vote by union members. City officials say there are more than 120 union members at the water utility. And Buccaneer Energy has started drilling operations on a second well in the Kenai Loop development field. The company says it will take about a month to drill the well to 11,000 feet. Testing will take another 2 weeks. If regulatory approval is given, the company could start selling gas to South Central Alaska utility NSTAR by December. Buccaneer has also applied for a permit for a third well. That's under consideration by the Alaska Oil and Gas Conservation Commission, which will decide by next week if it needs to hold a hearing on the company's application. You're listening to Morning Edition on KTOO Juneau.